There are basically two broad ways of financial analysis. One, basing on the users, okay, and basing on the method of operations, okay. Now, basing on users, meaning who is doing this analysis or to whom this is for, okay. So we have two types of financial analysis, external analysis and internal financial analysis, okay. And on the basis of operations, okay, how we are going to do this financial analysis, we have dynamic analysis and static analysis, okay. So let's try to understand this. External analysis. What is this external analysis? Basically, these are external agencies, okay, which are going to conduct, you know, analysis on your company, okay. So usually investors can do that, creditors can do that before they give the loans to you, government agencies, okay, including police and investigation department if needed, then credit agencies, then general public also. So all these people who are not part of this company, they do this external analysis. If they do the other than the company people, then that financial analysis becomes external. Okay. Now internal. So again, internal is anyone, okay, who have access to internal accounting records of the company. Okay, like for example, accounting department or your CFOs, CEOs, anyone doing that, it becomes your internal analysis, internal financial analysis. Okay. Now, these are quite simple. Now coming to on the basis method of operations, you have dynamic analysis and static analysis. Important guys. Okay. So dynamic analysis is also known as horizontal analysis. Okay. So what is this horizontal analysis? Basically, it's comparing financial data of any company for the last several years. It can be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, maybe, okay? So, and this type of analysis, you're going to look at different years, how you were. Like for example, how you are in 2020, 5 years back, how you were, okay? Or 10 years back, how your growth was, okay? So when you are comparing with different several years or different years to the current one, so this type of analysis is known as horizontal analysis, or it's also known as dynamic analysis. Okay, why dynamic analysis? Because this is done from year to year rather than a single year, meaning you are not doing within that year, you are comparing this year with several other years. Okay, so hence it is known as dynamic. Okay, now usually when you are doing the financial analyst, he looks always in terms of percentages, percentage of growth, percentage of dip, percentage of increase, percentage of dip, percentage gap. So always financial analyst will look at with those gaps, percentages. Or if it is ratios, etc. If it is absolute numbers, profit, cost, and all those stuff, number, he looks at, he or she, okay? So he looks at, see, I'll tell you what, static analysis is little different, okay? We are talking about dynamic analysis. So let's stick to dynamic analysis. Don't worry about static, we'll come to that, okay? So why we call it as dynamic is because it is moving from 1 year to another year, okay, and it is moving horizontally, year to year, okay. We are not comparing within that year, okay. So since it is based on year to year data, so hence it is known as dynamic, okay. Now this analysis is not, you can do either in terms of percentage or absolute number differences. It differs from case to case, okay. So this is known as horizontal or dynamic analysis. Now, in vertical analysis, when you're going to start, see, basically in horizontal analysis, you are comparing, again, you are looking at the relationship between two same things between different years, okay? But in vertical analysis, the relationship is on various items, okay, of this financial statement of one accounting period or of that particular accounting period only. We are not going to compare even 2019. Okay, within that year, and again, we are going to study between different various items again. Okay, now, if I have to compare profitability, let's say my profit has got dipped. Okay, I'm going to study inventory. I'm going to study how inventory turnover has been done or how my, collection or your account receivable was. So I'm studying different things. So that becomes your, okay, various items in a financial statement. Okay, why this is static? Because it is within the same year. Had it been different years, then it would have become dynamic analysis. Horizontal, vertical. Guys, for your project, which we are going to start next week, so you will be starting from this horizontal and vertical analysis of balance sheets, okay? Steps of financial analysis. How are we going to start? Firstly, when you are analyzing the financial statements or analyzing the financial aspects of that particular company, you need to have a very clear objective of this analysis. You have to be very clear what is that you are going to gain out of that. In investing, we call this as fundamental analysis, okay? Now, let's say I see that EPS, there is a ratio known as EPS, earning per share, okay? Or let's say debt-equity ratio, okay? Let's say debt-equity ratio is lower than what I'm seeing, okay? So let's say I've compared 5 years debt-equity ratio. That's fluctuating a lot, okay? Now, I want to understand why this is doing. Okay, so then my objective is to find out that particular stuff. Because if I start analyzing, it'll take you nowhere, right? There's so many things to analyze. It always, whenever you're analyzing the financial, you need to have a specific objective. Okay, otherwise you will get confused and you will lead to somewhere, okay? So first you need to set the objective. Why are you doing it? Okay. Now, second is you have to define to what extent are you going to analyze. So in this, whether I'm going to analyze the past 3 years data, 5 years data, or 10 years data, okay, what am I going to use the statement of accounts, financial statements, okay? So you have to clearly keep your analysis to that extent, okay? So third is reorganize and rearrange financial data. Yeah, so whatever, if you have to reorganize your financial data as per your analysis, you have to do it. It need not be exactly same as what your, the data which is published, okay? Now also, relationship among financial statement with the help of tools and techniques. So you need to clearly look into different relationships. Okay, within the financial statement. So again, how you are going to look at different relationship between two or more than two entities, that is going to depend on your objective, okay? And then of course, you have to interpret the information, draw your conclusion. Okay, so these are the four or five steps that you have to do, okay, to arrive at a particular conclusion. Fine, guys, it's very logical. Okay, now comes tools and techniques. What are the tools and techniques you're going to use? There are many techniques, but then these six are very, very common in financial analysis. One is comparative statements. Second is trend analysis. Third is fund flow analysis. Fourth is cash flow analysis. Fifth is ratio analysis. Sixth is common size statements. Okay, yeah, right. So comparative statement, again, it depends on what type of analysis you want to do. Suppose you want to do competitive analysis, financial statement, then obviously, let's say you are doing P&L account statement, okay? So then you have to compare with only the P&L account, okay? So of your competitor. Or let's say you are doing within the same company, different years, then comparative accounts are different years accounts. So those things, comparative statements, you need to have those statements ready and you need to be able to compare them. Trend analysis. Yes, sir, anyone from commerce background? I want to hear that. Trend analysis. Very good, nicely said. Who said this?
Amanpreet.
Amanpreet, you're right. Trend analysis is basically you use, like she said, graphical representation. So you're going to, let's say you are going to look at how the cost reduction or how the company has, got into cost reduction. Okay, so you will take last 3 years, how the company has spent. Okay, and then you put in a line graph or scatter plot or whatever. Okay, and then you will see a line or histogram, whatever, okay, and it will show the trend, how it is moving, the cost line. And here trend analysis we use only for one line item. It can be expenditure, it can be income, it can be inventory control, anything, okay. Trend always gives one idea, okay. Next comes fund flow analysis. Okay, we have two things, guys, here. Fund flow analysis and cash flow analysis. Are these both the same? Okay. Or can we say that fund flow statement, basically it's going to look into working capital flow?
So in cash flow also we use the working capital items.
Okay.
So,
but predominantly when we are doing fund flow analysis, like you said, balance sheet, etc., and always cash flow, we can do it for month on month. Okay. But fund flow cannot be for month on month, usually between year on year. Okay. Like he was saying, balance sheet, loans, etc. You can't get every month fund flow statement. You will always compare between two different what we call years. Okay, fund flow usually the banks they are more interested in that fund flow because they want to know how the capital, working capital, where, I mean, which all the other entities, financial institutions they have got in, so that they know overall liability. Okay, so net cash and fund flow more or less the same. Only thing, fund flow, yeah, like you say, rightly said, yeah, it includes all the bigger aspects, okay? Cash flow, smaller aspects, it can be smaller things within that particular period, okay? So this analysis or these analysis are your fund flow and cash flow. Okay, ratio analysis. So all of you know what are ratio analysis? Have you guys done accounting course this year? Okay, what are ratio analysis? People from commerce background. Yeah, definitely it is a quantitative method. Okay, so yeah, right. Basically, ratio analysis is a quantitative method in which the line items are expressed in terms of ratios, and with that ratios you can derive a certain relationship, so that becomes ratio analysis. We have detail, we'll be doing in detail about ratio analysis, don't worry. Okay, so yeah, in this financial analysis course, predominantly in your course, okay, the major thing we'll be doing is about ratio analysis. Okay, then comes common size statements. What are these common size statements, anyone? commerce guys again. Okay, common size statement. This is important, guys. Just note, take a note. Okay, so basically, it's also a kind of, or it's basically an income statement. Okay, now here the line items are the items within that particular statement. Okay, it is always shown in terms of percentages. Okay, percentage of your revenue or sales. Okay, anything. Okay, let's say you have done the expenditure of $20,000. Okay, and got a revenue of $100,000. So what is the percentage? Okay, let's say so what is the percentage of total revenue have you was your expenditure, or total sales was your expenditure? Okay, so when you are comparing or trying to arrive at the percentage of your revenue and sales, okay, so that becomes your income size statement. Okay guys, any questions? All right, so but here don't worry, so we'll be using more of comparative statement, trend analysis and ratio analysis. So predominantly we're going to use these two, three things. Okay, ratio analysis now starts the picture. Okay, so ratio analysis, again, there are so many ratios, guys. Okay, but then predominantly the ratios which a financial analyst takes into, basically they come under four category: liquidity ratio, second is leverage ratio, third is your activity ratio, and profitability ratios. Okay, so we'll see further. Okay, now look at that: liquidity ratio, leverage ratio, activity ratio, profitability ratio. Okay, so what are these liquidity ratio? These ratios, they are going to talk about firm's ability to meet current obligation. Meaning what? Yeah, take any kind of liquidity ratio or liquidity ratio as such, it is going to talk about whether, okay, so company is going to, if at all there is any requirement of money, urgent requirement of money, whether it is going to meet that obligation or not. Okay, so that becomes the liquidity ratio. Now tell me, higher the liquidity ratio, company in a good position to meet the requirements or not?
Yes.
High is good or low is good here?
High is good.
High is good. Okay. Now tell me, do you think that high liquidity ratio is always good? Thousands and millions, not millions, thousands and thousands of dollars are just lying. Okay, they have more cash. Okay, so then we call it as liquid. Rather, okay, anyone further who wants to add? Is it good or bad? Brilliant answer, Amanpreet. You got the answer. Good.
Yes, sir.
So please understand, okay, now when you have more money, okay, it's good that you have more money, right? But as a business person, you should never have excess money or high liquidity. You need to have, okay, but you need to invest somewhere, okay? Now, again, liquidity, does it mean that high liquidity ratio also, does it mean that they are not invested at all? Even fixed deposits are also considered as your liquid ratio will increase, right? Okay, see, I'll tell you what. High liquidity ratio, having high liquidity ratio is good. Okay, definitely it is good, but it becomes bad. Okay, when your working capital is high, at the same time, your liquidity ratio is also high. Okay, high liquidity is they are having money. So my question was, high liquidity ratio by itself is not bad to the company. Okay, But I'm saying high liquidity ratio, at the same time your working capital borrowings is also high. Then is it good or bad? Yeah, that's good. Meaning the cost of funds. See, as an analyst, guys, you should always look at cost of fund. Cost of fund meaning it's like this. Always your assets, if they're liquid, definitely. And if you have not invested in some risky investments like capital market or so, okay, let's suppose your liquidity is in terms of your cash balance, your gold or some, bonds or something like that. Okay, so usually what happens is you have to look at the return on investment. How much are you getting out of that IRR? Okay. And if your working capital, the interest what you are going to pay on working capital, if it is higher than your interest what you are going to get, your cost of funds are very high. Okay, so always if you have a liquid cash, you should always look at clearing off working capital. First of all, you should not take working capital if you are already rich. But again, your liquidity increases if you're, let's say, your bank, suddenly you got more account receivable. So then you should not sit silent. Immediately clear off your working capital, short-term working capital loans. Okay? So that's how your liquidity ratio is going to be helpful. Right? See, always high liquidity ratio is also not good. Low is also not good. So there should be certain ideal, balance. Okay. Now comes leverage ratio. Okay, leverage ratio. What are these leverage ratios? Now, always you have debt and equity. Okay, so when your leverage ratios are basically, it is going to show how your debt and equity, okay, of the firm's assets are balanced. Okay, so whenever this is balanced, we call it as leveraged. Okay, if it is not balanced, you are not leveraged them properly. So we'll come to that separately. Okay, then comes activity ratios. So activity ratio talks about activity of the firm. What is activity of the firm? Let's say you are manufacturing cars. Okay, so what is your activity? Again, you require, you are using steel, you are using other raw material, you are using components to manufacture something. Okay, so your activity ratio is going to reflect your efficiency of utilizing your assets. Okay, so all these assets can be your inventories, assets, again, your machines, okay, your land, whatever you call, okay, all these things, how you are using company's assets, okay, how efficiently you are using the company's assets. Let's say you got 100 machines, you are only using 10 machines, okay, so then you are definitely, your activity, your capacity is to produce with those 100 machines, but you are only using 10 machines. That means your activity ratio definitely will be low. Okay, so you are working with lesser capacity. So that is activity ratio. Again, profitability ratio. So these ratios are going to talk about your overall performance in terms of your revenue, in terms of your effectiveness of the firm, in terms of your managing of taxes, all these things it's going to talk about. Okay, fine, guys. So these are the major ones. Now, again, if you look at ratio analysis, it is going to help in decision making. Like, can you tell me how ratio analysis, these things will help in decision making for a firm? What type of decision makings? Yes, guys? Financial decision making. Suppose you want to expand, Okay, let's say you have lots of assets and profitability, etc. Then you want to take a decision whether I can grow, you know, I can expand or not. Again, all these ratio analysis will help. Investments, again, ratio analysis will help. So such decision making, they are useful. Financial forecasting and planning. Financial forecasting, again, you know how your financials would do, etc. And planning for the future. And then also communicating strength and weakness of a firm. Okay. So how your strength and weakness of a firm is. Okay. So you can get the information from ratio analysis. And again, coordinating various business activities. Okay, business activities, it can be selling, it can be production, it can be distribution. So various activities you can coordinate again with the help of ratio analysis. Okay, now making effective control of the business. So overall control you will have if you understand the ratios well. Now coming to limitations. What are its limitations? Always, now if you take one single ratio, you cannot understand much. So always you have to connect different ratios. Okay? You cannot connect just with EPS. You cannot say that it is the best, what we call, just because EPS ratio is very high, I should not go and take the shares of a company. Okay? So you have to look at other ratios as well. So meaning one ratio will not help you. You have to analyze along with that in relation other ratios as well. Okay. Now, again, in ratio analysis, there are, again, different standards to different companies and countries. Okay. So there is no standardized way of, you know, going for the measurements. Okay. Then again, industries, they differ. Okay, like for example, the financial ratios of oil refining industry, you cannot compare to a bank, or a bank you cannot compare to a airline industry, and an airline industry you cannot compare to a software industry. So hence, the industries that differ with the nature also, their ratios also cannot be compared. Again, ratios, in the ratio analysis, okay, there is no much consideration, okay, in terms of price level. So we don't take into account the price level when comparing the ratios. Okay, when a particular ratio dips, we will not take into account how much was the price now, how much was the price then, other raw materials and other stuff. So hence, so these are the limitations of ratio analysis, but then net-net, it gives a lot of information. In fact, I do use ratio analysis a lot, okay, for whenever I make the decision of investment, okay. All right, now, okay, we have completed window dressing and all this stuff, which is, okay, let's go for liquidity ratios. The first set of ratios are liquidity ratio. Now, liquidity ratios, they are predominantly three major types. Current ratio, second is quick or acid test ratio, third is absolute liquid ratio. Okay, now please understand these meanings here, guys. Liquid current ratio, in that, this is the formula how you achieve the current ratio. You will get current ratio when you divide current assets to current liabilities. Meaning what? What are current assets and what are current liabilities, guys? We have studied last. Okay, current assets is within the financial year, that financial year. Okay, current. So assets which you got for that year. Okay, it can be inventory, it can be any other thing, okay? Current liabilities, for that year, what are your liabilities are? Okay, meaning your payments, account payables, etc., etc. Okay. So, current ratio you will get if you are dividing the complete current assets for that year, okay, to the total current liabilities. So, whatever ratio you get, it becomes current asset, current ratio. Now, what is the significance of this current ratio? It's going to measure the ability to meet the short-term cash needs. Okay? Meaning, short-term is what? Within that 6 months to within that maximum 1 year. Usually within that 6 months. Okay? So suppose if you require, $500,000 for salary. So how quickly your current ratio, if your current ratio is very strong, then you will be able to meet the short-term cash needs. Your current ratio, if it is low, then you cannot meet. Yes, sir. Okay, now how much do you think current ratio usually it should be? More than one, less than one? Yes, guys? 2:1?
Yeah.
Very good. So usually the current ratio, a good current ratio, it varies anywhere between 1.2 to 2. Okay? Anything less than 1.2, there is a red flag, meaning you cannot, fulfill the short-term cash needs if you get. Okay, now let's, so we'll be doing small little things, okay, calculation. Okay, now let's say Atharva is the CFO of a company, all right? Now, okay, his current assets are $240,568, okay, and current liabilities are $158,320. Find the current ratio and tell me whether it is healthy or unhealthy. 568. Okay. This much. Liability, how much? I said 150. Okay, I'll give this one. Okay. Fine, guys. Find out the current ratio. What is the current ratio? Comment on the Yeah. Okay, now let's go for the second one, right? So take up this formula, current assets to current liability is current ratio. Guys, I want everyone to be participating in this, otherwise I think you're not following. Okay, quick ratio, the second type of liquidity ratio is known as quick ratio or acid test ratio, guys. Okay, so how are you going to do this? The formula for this to calculate is current assets, okay, minus inventory to the current liabilities. Now look at this. Now we talk about current assets. So what are all the examples for current assets, guys? Prepaid expenses. Good. That's all. Any other liquid assets in case if you have any. Okay. Now, in quick ratio or acid test ratio, the beauty is that from the total current assets, you have to remove the inventory. This is important. Okay. If the difference between the total current assets, okay, and the inventory, less the inventory, total current assets, less the inventory to current liabilities, it's going to give you quick ratio or acid test ratio. Okay, now please understand, inventory is usually the one which your company is predominantly dependent to want to make money, either in the form of raw materials or finished goods, unsold finished goods. Okay, so if you include that also in current assets, will not give you the right the picture. So hence, total current assets, from that if you have to take out the inventory out, okay, so then it's going to give you the exact ability to meet the short term cash needs more rigorously, meaning it'll be much more relevant if we do that. Okay, now tell me, in the same example we go, okay, now let's say total inventory, are you able to see this word? Okay, I'll tell you about. See, this current ratio, if you look at, anywhere between 1.2 to 2 is considered as healthy or, you know, average. Okay, now coming to quick ratio, anything 1 and above is good. If you ask me, 1.13 is right, then current ratio might not be that good. Okay, but if it is a quick ratio, I'll say it is good. Okay, and anything less than 1 is very bad for your company. And whenever, guys, whenever you're having more than 1 quick ratio, okay, the CFO, what he's supposed to do, you know, he has to immediately clear off his liability, current liability. Very, very important. Whenever you find more than 1, your quick ratio, immediately you have to clear your short-term liabilities. Why? Because in that case, you will be paying, your cost of funds are going to be higher, or you have unnecessarily keeping the liabilities. Okay, you're paying more to liabilities than unknowingly. Okay, so always, whenever you're having more than 1 quick ratio, okay, you have to pay off your, okay, liabilities. Current liabilities, how can you pay? Example, what are those? When you're taking the loans as working capital as loans, so your cost of funds are high, right? Okay, so, and usually your account payables, usually you will not have it as a credit. You will have 90 days credit period, or you may have 6 months credit period, or whatever. Okay, so always you should look at cost of funds. If you have to clear anything, any current liability whose cost of funds are very high. Okay, so if you look at that, cost of funds of working capital are higher than account payable. Okay, so that's all. And sometimes account payable need not, they will not have any penalty also. So why you want to pay that, right? So this is how you will think like a financial analyst. Okay, so what else, guys? So quick ratio, is that clear? Any doubts?